This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is the War in Ukraine Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. Mariupol has fallen. Port city in the southeastern corner of Ukraine had received the worst of the shelling, bombing, attacks in this war. Much of the city reduced to rubble. A group of several hundred soldiers had been holding out inside of a massive steel plant, refusing to surrender. But now there's word the last remaining Ukrainians have been evacuated. Mariupol in Russian hands. A setback for Ukraine, but there are success stories. In Kharkiv, not only has the Ukrainian army pushed back the Russians, recaptured territory. They've managed to drive all the way to the Russian border. We'll look at both of these battles and the current state of the war in Ukraine in its fourth month, on the verge of entering that fourth month.
The defenders of Mariupol held out for weeks longer than they were supposed to, and they kept some Russian army battalions tied up, unable to join the new offensive in the east. But those last Ukrainian soldiers dug into a massive steel manufacturing complex and have officially surrendered to the Russians. With us again is journalist Phil Itner, who is in Kyiv. Phil, as you start tallying who is winning what in Ukraine, I guess it's time to give Mariupol to the Russians.
Yeah, after a real long, protracted fight that went on for weeks, they finally have evacuated pretty much the last of the fighters from that steel factory. And as you mentioned, they came out in the corridor, surrendered to the Russians, and they were taken to a location in the breakaway republic in the Donbass.
Do we know what's going to happen to them? I guess that's up to the Russians. But the Ukrainians have said, they were evacuated out, but into Russian territory. The Russians are saying we're going to just treat them as prisoners like any other?
Well, that's how it stands right now. But troublingly, there is also a proposal in the Russian State Duma, the lower house of the parliament, to consider the Azov Brigade, many of whom were the fighters that took that last stand in the Azov steel plant, to designate the Azov Brigade as a terrorist organization. That vote is up on the 26th. And, if they can't resolve what is to be done with those prisoners before then, it may very well be that they will be considered terrorists. So that may be a bargaining point that the Russians are publicly making, or it may be an open intention of holding them through that period. And then their punishment obviously would be far more grave.
So we've had some experts on the show, Phil, who have said the only way this is going to end is with a negotiation. And the question, I guess, is what would that negotiation look like? What do you think?
Well, I think that this goes a long way towards Russia being able to claim at least some sort of victory, because, you know, we've been talking for a while, you guys and I, since I came to this conflict, about one of the main strategic goals of this conflict is for Russia to achieve a land bridge linking the Russian territory proper up to the Crimean Peninsula, which they took in 2014. And Mariupol has been a sticking point in that land bridge. Now that that is actually in Russian hands, if they can get control of a strategically important waterway that comes out of the town of Kherson, which has been kind of goes back and forth, or has gone back and forth from Russian control and Ukrainian control, if they can grab, you know, if they can consolidate control of that and get the water that goes to Crimea, and then get just, they only need a little bit of territory, and there's not much stopping them from Mariupol to Crimea, then they will have achieved one of their primary strategic goals. And if they do that, that might be a way for Vladimir Putin to save face, claim one of his strategic victories, and maybe negotiate a peace.
If anything, though, we do know this is probably still going to be a prolonged event.
It does look like that. Certainly the Ukrainians have been indicating that their intention is to reclaim as much territory as possible. But, you know, this war is taxing for both sides, both in terms of what Russia is facing with sanctions. Those probably will not be going anywhere anytime soon, regardless of a negotiated peace. But also in addition to that, the toll in terms of their mine materiel, that's hurting Russia. And of course, you know, to have a war on your own territory for the Ukrainians is taxing. So while if the Ukrainians decide that they're going to try and take back the territory that they've lost since 2014, and this goes on, and they have a lot of weapons to do that with, but at the same time, you know, everybody's tired of war.
I'm wondering what you make of this, Phil. There was, I think it was yesterday, a retired Russian colonel, who was on Russian state TV and criticized the war and in effect said, and I'm paraphrasing, but in effect said that it's not good for Russia. And I'm wondering how he managed to do that in such a controlled media environment, and whether somebody is trying to send a message.
Yeah, that was striking for a lot of us who monitor what comes out of Russia. And I'm not going to remember his name, probably Kazamatsov or something to that effect. A lot has been floated about that. And a lot's been discussed about the fact that nothing shows up on that show on Russia's first channel, because it is controlled by the Kremlin. Spontaneous outbursts do not, you know, really ever happen on that show. And the fact that he has not been publicly punished for what he said adds to this kind of idea that perhaps it has been that was purposely done to float the idea so that the Kremlin could kind of judge what kind of reaction internally within Russia that would bring about. And if that's the case, then they are trying to tamper down what maybe they have been pumping out previous to that, and that is that, you know, we're going for all-out victory and a defeat, you know, total defeat of Ukraine. So it was shocking to see that happen, I will admit. And it does bring the question about of was it a way to run it up the flagpole and see who salutes? And if that's the case, then, as I say, the Russians are as tired of war as the Ukrainians are. So maybe they're trying to judge whether or not they can get away with walking away from this with some sort of victory, but also to kind of bring down expectations of the Russian people.
Journalist Phil Itner, who is in Kyiv. Phil, thanks. While the Russians may have control of Mariupol now, they've apparently been driven out of the Kharkiv region in the Ukraine-Russian border. That area, Russia had been trying to take control of the area as part of its revamped war plan in the eastern parts of Ukraine.
Ukraine says its troops have pushed Russian soldiers out of the region and have even made their way to the border in a big advance. With us again is Oleksandra, who lives in Kharkiv. We talked last with her about a month ago. She and her husband and mother-in-law have stayed in the city the whole time. Thank you for coming back to talk with us. What's life like now where you are that the Russian soldiers have left your city?
Thank you for invitation. I can say that we can feel totally safe now because, you know, this rocket is like a Russian roulette. Can be missiled everywhere. We had shellings even in the Lviv region. It's far west of the Ukraine. So until our victory, we can't feel safe. But I can say that since Russians has been pushed out far from the city, it's been a lot calmer here, and some people are considering to return to their home in the northern parts of the city, but it's mostly people who lived in Kharkiv, but in some shelters, underground stations, and calmer neighborhoods. So they're deciding to come back to their homes if their apartments survived shellings. For example, my friends considering this in a week or two.
How has your life and your family's life changed in the past month or so since we've talked to you?
Unfortunately, our family used to war, and it's sad to understand because it's disgusting. Something terrible happening during our lives, and we just used to it, and I think it's a horrible situation, but we need to do something to keep things going during the war, so we're trying to live our normal lives as much as it possible, and I can say that it significantly changed during the last months. Maybe it became more calm than a month before, because more calm nights, more calm spirits and of people in our neighborhood. So we're just enjoying the spring.
What are you doing now to try and get a little slice of what seems more normal? Because there was a while there where the Russians were in control, and you had told us that there were, you know, protests every day, and then they started to come after the protesters, and there was a while where really you weren't leaving home too much, but now you can go out and work because you've got the city back.
Yes, there are a lot of people, as I've said, come back to the city from different regions, and some people are deciding to go for a walk, or now from yesterday we have some public transport in the city, so we can use not only the personal car or taxi to go to another part of the city, and it gives us hope for a better living, for something that we call something like normal life. Yes, and me personally, I'm trying to visit my parents in another district of the city every weekend, spend some time together, work in the garden, and so on. I speak with my friends, meet friends I can meet who stayed in Kharkiv, and maybe that's all because I'm working remotely, so I was working since the first day of war.
Do you have a different view now than perhaps a month or so ago on what you think the outcome of this all is going to be, how this is going to end?
I've always believed that we will win in this war, and Russia has no chance. Of course, there was tough days with shellings and air bombing, but this hope in our hearts is still here. And every inch of Ukrainian ground freed from invaders makes us very happy. And we believe in our armed forces. We hope they will return to their homes and families safe. We donate to our army. We donate to volunteers who help army, and just hope for the best, give them our best wishes.
Is it harder to hope for the best as time goes on, or when you have these victories like you've had, does that help fuel it?
I can say it becomes more difficult or less difficult. It's difficult to see how many disaster and pain Russians caused to our land and our people, to children who got to flee from their homes, children who died during this war. But we still have each other, and we still Ukrainians. We have a language, we have a land, and we just stay together and believe that everything will be okay, and just waiting for a victory to celebrate.
Oleksandra lives in Kharkiv. We last spoke over a month ago. She and her husband, mother-in-law, stayed in the city the whole time. Oleksandra, again, thank you for coming back and speaking with us, and we're glad you're in a safer spot now. This is an Odyssey original. Find us and others on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.